Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi,
this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margot.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast. And today, we have a very exciting special guest for our interview today. She is a superstar trainer. Her name is Jeanette Jenkins. And Jen, sadly, you were not there for this call. On the line today, it's Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey, I'm so sorry I missed this one.
And Kristen.
Hi, I'm glad I didn't miss it.
Jen, you missed out. So we usually do these with, I don't know if you guys are going to gather this from listening to the show, but we do Skype interviews with people. And so Jeanette is a Hollywood trainer. She's a Hollywood-based trainer, and she's amazing. And she's one of the few people that actually answered the call with video. And normally we just do audio. And she just preferred to do it that way because she's used to performing on television. So we just did the interview that way. And I have to tell you, Jen, Kristen and I were just gobsmacked at how beautiful she was.
Stunning.
Stunning. With, like, gorgeous skin. And she's just, like, her hair in a bun. You know, wearing her athleisure kind of stuff at her kitchen, but she was super animated. She's very, very intelligent. She had so much to say, but I have to just warn you guys, we had a little bit of a connection problem with that. Sometimes she couldn't hear us, sometimes we couldn't hear her. So we're going to clean it up as best that we can, but really stick with this interview because there's some great information that she gives out. And then, Kristen, you just wanted to give a little caveat to what was discussed.
Yeah, well, I thought that one of the really interesting parts of the interview, because, you know, it's really nice to have people who come on with all different approaches to fitness and nutrition and all of that. We don't want to just, like, preach to our own choir. So she talked about how there were, you know, how there are just all these so much conflicting information out there about, especially when it comes to nutrition for your workouts. And we all know this, like you can read five different articles and they're going to tell you five different things on the amount of protein you need or when you should eat this. And, you know, the absolute ideal time to eat before a race is, but that's not necessarily the truth for everybody. And so she was saying that I don't want to give too much away from the interview, but she was talking about people who go to a badass HIIT workout class and then work really hard, sweat really hard, feel great, and then they go and eat like a 500 calorie smoothie as recovery. And she was saying, you know, that is not a good way to achieve weight loss. And, you know, she does work with a lot of people who how their body looks is an important part of their job. I mean, she's in Hollywood, right? So I just thought it was probably, I wanted to touch on that a little bit before we get into the interview with her. Because I think it's also important for everybody to recognize that what works in terms of workouts and nutrition can also have a whole lot to do with your goals. Like, if your primary goal in working out is weight loss, and you, for whatever reason, you know, you've got a photo shoot coming up and you need your abs to look right and tight, that is a really different goal than finding a workout and nutrition routine or program that kind of works for you and makes you, you know, look forward to it and feel good and feel happy and be prepared for the next thing or a performance-based goal. So I don't, Jen, I feel like you might have thoughts and more smart things to add to it because Jeanette was really smart and had great science backing up what she said, but there were a few things that maybe weren't exactly what we tend to preach on the website.
Yeah, and I think that's so, I mean, I think it's cool because, you know, we always want to learn and grow and, you know, be challenged on things. There is just so much, like you were saying, like so much conflicting information and what's right and what's quote unquote right and what the research is showing. And I think it really does come down to, like you were saying, goals, you know, for us and for me personally, you know, it's just like, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? Is the way you look your number one thing? That's not ever my number one thing. And that's usually the thing that, you know, with so much emphasis on looking a certain way by society and culture, you know, I think if you can kind of step away from, like, what you look like and say, like, you know what, I just want to feel good. That's usually a safer, especially if you have a past with, like, yo-yo dieting or you have confidence mm-hmm. issues or anything. Like, that's kind of a healthier mindset to step into. Just be like, how can I feel good? And then, you know, this is what we talk about on sites a lot of times is there's no reason to try different things to see what works for you and use your life and your body as an experiment. So say you do, you're like, okay, I do want to lose weight. You know, I'm not going to eat as much right after. I'm not going to, you know, wait a while after a workout. I'm not going to eat and see how you feel. And then do that for maybe like a day or even one meal or like a week or something where you're still eating, but you're not eating within that like magical 30 minute to 1 hour window post workout. See how you feel. And then, you know, try it again when you are getting that nutrition in right after. I know for myself personally, if I'm running around and just trying to like fit my workouts in and that's my main goal, sometimes I can get a post, you know, workout snack in or meal right after. Sometimes I can't. And that's just kind of how life goes. Maybe I planned poorly or we decided to go with my husband. IKEA's right next to our gym. So a lot of times we'll like go to a like Saturday morning or Sunday morning workout and then go straight to IKEA and I'm like, oh crap, it's been like an hour and a half since I worked out and all I've had is coffee. You know, like not ideal.
So I got to get meatballs.
Yeah. But now that, you know, I am looking more at some performance things and I'm not training for like a running race, but I am trying to, you know, lift a little heavier, be a little faster, feel better, you know, in the gym, bust ass on my burpees and stuff like that and be a little bit more competitive with just my own times and my own self at the gym. You know, it is more important for me now to make sure I'm getting that nutrition right after my workout because I do feel better and I do perform better when I do that. And my goal is to perform better. So, and I know that from trial and error. So I think for anyone listening, you know, like listen to what she has to say. I'm certainly going to listen to what she has to say. And then mm-hmm. just see what works and do what works for you. You know, I think a lot of times it is so awesome to hear experts and it's so awesome just to be inspired and to try new things. But at the end of the day, you're in charge of your body and your body can tell you a lot if you listen to it. So take all the good stuff and then anything not working for you, like leave it behind.
And she gives a lot of really great information. She talks about financial planning being, and also the way she promotes her charity. She actually puts charities into her business plan.
Yeah.
She's really, really smart. She had so much great information and she's super inspiring. If you follow her on Instagram and Twitter, she's inspiring. That's all I can say. So inspiring. And once again, so beautiful. I was just staring at her as she was talking sometimes like, oh wait, I got to ask her a question. She's just very dynamic.
Next time, if we have her on again or anyone, you'll have to like stop and like Snapchat or like take a photo or something.
I'm going to do that. Strange. I'm totally going to do that next time. Like, we got to have her on again because she's a fan. She knows who we are. She likes what we do. So I guess, should we just dive right into this interview today?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, here's our interview with Jeanette Jenkins. Welcome back, everybody. Today's guest is Jeanette Jenkins. She is one of Hollywood's most sought-after health and fitness experts with over 25 years of experience. She's founder and president of The Hollywood Trainer, LLC, thehollywoodtrainer.com. She's the author of The Hollywood Trainer Weight Loss Plan. She's the creator of The Hollywood Trainer Club, a virtual online healthy living and weight loss club with everything you need to lose weight, get in shape, make healthy living a lifetime habit. She's the creator of internationally successful Hollywood Trainer DVDs with 18 DVDs sold worldwide in 14 different countries. Her list of celebrity clientele includes Pink, Alicia Keys, Tia Mowry, Amber Rose, Tracy Ross, Nia Long, Kelly Rowland. I'll just keep going on and on. She studied human kinetics at the University of Ottawa. She has over 18 international certifications covering nutrition and various forms of training. She's a graduate of the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, recognized by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners and Columbia University. Growing up in public housing in Canada, Jenkins was one of three children raised by a single mother, and fitness is what kept her focused. A natural athlete, she found a safe haven in sports, and one that taught her the value of discipline and teamwork.
She has benefited from social and community services as a child and dedicates her time to support several nonprofit organizations, including the Boys and Girls Club of America, School on Wheels, the Samburu Project, Keep a Child Alive, UNICEF, and this year she is training for the New York City Marathon to raise funds for Keep a Child Alive, a nonprofit organization co-founded by her client Alicia Keys to provide health care, medicine, and support to children and families affected by HIV. Welcome to the show, Jeanette Jenkins.
Woo!
You got an applause button?
We need one. We need one.
We're so thrilled to meet you and see you on a Monday afternoon when we're taping this. So thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm Margo, and on the line we have Kristen.
Hi.
And
nice to meet you, lady.
Thank you. So Jeanette, I'm going to ask you the first question. You contribute so much to so many nonprofits and charitable organizations. How do you find the time to do as much as you can and run your own empire?
I try to interweave it or intermingle it into my actual business plans. So I'll make a plan in advance, or I'll talk with a client, and then I'll try to make it part, because I really believe in philanthropy. So I make it, like, right now as I'm running for the marathon, I've included my social media campaign to be 6 weeks of running. So I'm doing a 6 weeks of running program to teach my following how it's important to cross train while they train for a marathon, or just in everyday life, that if they're going to do running on a regular basis, the importance of doing yoga and core work and flexibility work. So I really just, it's something that is part of my business plan every year. It's just which I just rotate the organizations depending on, you know, who it is that I'm dealing with as far as clients and what their requests are from me, and then what means something to my heart as far as who I want to help.
That's so smart. And it's great that with what you do, you can, you can work those two things together. And now I'm wondering, with all of that philanthropic work, it's really clear that it's super important to you to kind of get some of the more underrepresented and underserved communities and demographics out there more involved in fitness. And, you know, you have a great platform to do this, but what are some things that maybe the rest of us can do to follow your lead and do good on our own?
I've been volunteering since I was a child. I believe that it should be part of everyone's life. Also, as a Christian, I believe service is a huge blessing that people often underestimate the value of. It's a huge gift. There's nothing that brings you more joy into your everyday life than knowing that you impacted the life of someone else. Like, the first time I started volunteering, I was feeding children. You know, it's like when I got into, like, my junior high, I would go back to my public school early in the mornings and feed the kids who arrived at school without breakfast. So I really believe that anyone, it's just that you have to realize that you're a powerful individual, and that even helping one person has an impact on that whole person's family. So whether you're going to, like, your local shelter and just, I mean, there's so many people I've helped that people have no idea, from even when I just moved to LA and I would go to, like, women's shelters that are around here, and I'd kind of adopt a family, and I would just go visit them weekly and bring them, you know, workout clothes or food or some additional money or things for the kids. And you, there's so much. If every single American donated one or adopted kind of one family that's in need, there's so much impact that would have. It's a ripple effect. It's not so much of being able to have a huge impact, but just start by something small, and it has a ripple effect beyond what you can ever imagine.
So that's interesting. So you learned this growing up in Ottawa from your mom and from your community. What was this journey that took you from Ottawa now to Hollywood, where you're around celebrities all the time? Like, what brought you on this path? And do you ever say to yourself, oh my God, is this my life? Because it's so amazing.
No. I mean, I am a person who believes life is amazing from the moment I open my eyes.
Good for you.
I love that.
I'm one of the people that wake up. It's like, it's a beautiful day. Do you see the sun? Oh my God. Like, I'm a morning person all the way. And I planned to come back to LA because I was born in Hollywood. So as a child, you know, when you go through school and everybody has to ask, where were you born? I was born in Hollywood. My father was an entertainer. and my parents divorced when I was young. So I chose fitness as a career path because I loved sports. And I really thought I was going to end up in like biomechanics or ergometrics, designing equipment. But I just really love people and interacting with people. And so I ended up excelling quite quickly in like fitness and training. And so, you know, when I started to look up the most successful areas where people had the income to be able to afford trainers, like LA was a top spot. So it was really just my desire to want to, you know, financial, when you grow up in, I grew up in public housing. So one of my goals was always that financial independence more so than anything. It's like, I loved fitness, but I wanted to be financially independent. And so coming to LA gave me the ability to create income and multiple streams of income from various types of businesses.
Fantastic.
So as far as the celebrities, to me, they're just regular people. And that's probably why I've been so lucky with training them, because I really don't treat them like anything else other than, you know, I do my absolute best. Don't get me wrong. I believe in, you know, treating every client like 110%. But I mean, I also have some clients that aren't celebrities that are extremely successful business people that you might not know in the upfront, but like they own several recycling plants around the country and things like that. So what I believe in is whatever you choose to commit yourself to, do it 110%. Don't do a half-assed job. Do a great job. And I do that with my clients as far as in service. So whatever their goals are, I'm very goal-oriented. Okay, you want to achieve this? You want to achieve that? I'm going to make a plan and we're going to get it done. And I'm going to do it with joy, with happiness. And when you leave me, you're going to feel amazing and great. And every time you come to me, we're going to keep working towards that. And that's how the celebrity clients came. It was just referral after referral after referral.
Now, that sounds really like just such a smart and down-to-earth way to approach living and working in LA, and I think that that's pretty inspiring for a lot of us. Do you have any, you know, any funny or inspirational or surprising stories about training people in LA, you know, either with celebrities or you may not be able to say names, and that's fine, but just any story that really sticks with you about a client or you know, somebody coming in with a goal.
Sure. I mean, one for sure choice that I made that was really life-changing, that was with a client. It was the beginning of maybe like the second or third year of me training clients out here, and I had decided I was going to take financial planning courses at UCLA to get my CFP designation, which is a certified financial planner. And I was maybe like 26 at the time. And I just wanted the knowledge so I would know where to invest and how to invest my own money. And that particular client said to me, you think you're going to, you can't invest people's money when you're finished this course. I hope you don't think you can do that. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, is that, so I go, why would you say what I can and cannot do? And I'm like, when I'm finished this course, I will have the designation and I'll have the qualifications and I most certainly can invest other people's money. And so because he put that negativity into my life, I decided at the end of that session that I was going to write him a check for the remaining sessions he had left and let him know that, you know, I was grateful for the time that he worked with me, but I didn't need to work with him any longer. And that's been the most life-changing thing I have done, is make a concerted effort that if someone does not add positive energy and value to my life and they actually drain me, don't appreciate what I have to offer, or disrespect me, then I take them out of my circle, because I believe that we are so limited in our time that we're here on this earth. And in each day we have such a limited amount of time that when I surround myself with strong people who support me as much as I support them, who lift me up as much as I lift them up, and then it's like your vibration level goes so much higher in how you can impact the world. And I just believe that my purpose is so much greater than to even bother wasting 5 minutes with someone that's going to be negative to me.
Good for you.
Oh, my God. I'm writing all this down. You're amazing. You've achieved so much and so many dreams. And who inspires you? What are your dreams? Do you have anything else you want to like bring into your life that's a goal for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always I always have goals to help other people because I have been fortunate enough to feel what it's like to be financially independent and to not have to, you know, ever have fear of, you know, like being able to keep my job or et cetera, because I've been able to create my own income. So I constantly try to share that knowledge and support by mentoring other trainers and instructors in the industry and just encouraging people, whatever their dream is. Like, I just believe you can do it is such a basic sentence, but it's so powerful and so many people don't hear it enough that I honestly believe that that's something that's so simple that I constantly try to put into the lives of anyone I touch, that whatever their dreams are, that it's to understand how powerful that is, that what came into your consciousness came in there from God. It wasn't like this bogus thought that came along, and that it's in your conscience for a reason. And so ignore it, to actually act on it and put it into fruition. And like, how many people can you serve with that beautiful idea that you might have had? And that's it. I mean, there isn't anything really other than that. As far as my career, I love the changing industry as far as how social media has impacted and being able to reach more people. But I'm in the stage of my life where less is more, where I've completely come full circle. And I understand that, you know, it's the little things that bring so much joy to life. So, you know, my going forward goal is just to always enjoy the depths of each day and every interaction I have with every person I touch.
Now, speaking of reaching other people, there was a quote you had in an Essence magazine article a few years back, and I think it was sort of around the holidays, and you offered some really good advice for how to make a hairstyle last and look fresh after a workout, which is a topic that a lot of our African-American readers have come to us with as a serious hurdle in their workouts. And you gave some really good specific tips, which I thought was great. But you ended it by saying, always remember that your heart is more important than your hair.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And what are some other maybe suggestions you have for the common, I hate to call them excuses, but the common challenges that some of your clients come to you with? What are some things that you hear a lot, and what are your responses? Because you're so positive. I know you've got great stuff.
I mean, thankfully, I'm in the stage of my career where people don't come to me until they're ready, because they're not spending that kind of money unless they're really ready to work out.
Right. Right.
People do have excuses. And the first with the heart, your heart before your hair, that was a basic, because it's the women and men constantly need to be reminded that heart disease is the number one killer in America. So it's like, we're killing ourselves. So you mean you would rather be at risk of death than condition your heart. And so I try to remind them that exercise is an internal cleaning. It's like, if you could wear your outsides, you know, your internal organs on the outside, like, why do you care about your heart? Because other people can see it. So if everybody could see your heart, then maybe you would work out more, because it's something that visibly people could see. But it's, I don't think that sometimes people, they, because we're over marketed to for every other reason to exercise, the most glaringly obvious reason to exercise, which is so you don't die, is the one that gets missed the most. It's like, your creator has given you this ability to movement, and movement decreases your risk of every disease, from heart disease, stroke, diabetes, cancer. It decreases the risk of all these diseases. If pharmaceutical companies could put exercise in a pill and sell it, everybody would take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's just so obvious to me. Like, it's almost too obvious for people. So my word of advice is to understand this incredible gift of exercise. It's like 20 to 30 minutes a day, get up and get moving, and you increase, like, immediately, just the endorphins alone, it decreases your risk of depression. So you can get off your whatever kind of pharmaceuticals you might be on to fight, you know, bye-bye Prozac or whatever one it is you're on. And then more importantly, it's like, it's real. People are dying every day of heart disease, stroke, and cancer. And if it hasn't affected you personally, it's affected someone in your family. And so just for those reasons to decrease your risk of illness, but also so that you feel good. Like, what point is it, what does it matter to live every day if you're living in pain? If you live in pain from health disparity. So do it so that you can just feel great. Like, all those extra things about lifting your butt, sculpting your arm, da 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 da, like, it's all cute and everything, but do it so that you feel good.
So tell us about the Hollywood Trainer Club. You've created this. So can our listeners join your club? I want to join your club. I want to join you wherever you go.
My choice to do a club was because everybody was going on to digital, and I was like, okay, well, I still want to be able to contact people and interact with them, and so why not build a club? So I spent a year and a half building a club, and then I opened doors about a year ago, and it's been a blast. And so I have, it's $20 a month, and every day that you are in the club, you just sign in every day, and every day I give you a daily motivation of a quote to help you focus on something positive to start your day. I give you a meal plan of exactly what to eat throughout the day, as well as a workout for the day. And if for any reason you don't like the meal plan, you just click on recipes, and I have over 150 healthy recipes in there. You can click around and find what you want to eat. And the same with the workout. If for any reason you don't like the workout that I've prescribed for you that day, you go into our virtual gym and you click on exercise into our virtual gym, and I have over 330 exercises, like exercise videos and challenges. So to keep people motivated, so they could do Pilates, they could do yoga, they could do a 10-day ab challenge, they could do a 30-day butt challenge, they could do whatever they want. It's kind of like free reign.
Awesome.
But
that sounds so fun.
The part I like about it is I have a community page. So on the community page, people ask me all kinds of questions. Like, I even had a woman ask me about polycystic ovarian syndrome, you know, and like what things she should be eating to combat the side effects of that syndrome, which, you know, a lot of women suffer from polycystic ovarian syndrome, but might not feel comfortable discussing it publicly. But whereas when they're in the club, they know like everyone in there is just, it's just such a positive place.
Now, you were talking about the recipes, and I know that you do a lot with some Eggology recipes. And so can you tell us a little bit about that, maybe how you make it a part of your healthy eating plan?
Yeah, Eggology is awesome. It's literally liquid egg whites, so it's just like nature's highest form of protein with all your essential amino acids. And they offer both like cage-free and organic, so that's one of the reasons that I agreed to work with the company, because if you can imagine from my years in the industry, I've been offered every food deal you can imagine, but if I don't really believe, I mean, like, even when I wrote my book, which I wrote it in 2004, now is when it was published, my editor told me I couldn't put in the information about organic and conventional. And I was like, but I believe in organic, so you're going to leave it in the book.
Good for you.
So the great thing is that the day that it was published, Walmart decided to double the amount of their organic foods. And so I remember sending him that headline going, I guess I'm going to be all right, because if Walmart's carrying organic, everybody can get it.
That's right.
So with Eggology, because it's a high source of protein, it's a very convenient way to get your quality protein. I mean, and it's easy and convenient to cook. So whether you're putting it in a shake, the good thing is they're eggized, so you can even add them into a shake, or you can do them as, you know, an egg white omelet, egg white muffins. And the egg white muffins are so convenient. They're like only 60 to 70 calories. And you can just, I remember the first time I made them in my office, everybody ate them. They were gone. I was like, okay. So, and they're just like super convenient. So you can, they're great for easy snacks for the kids also. And they're great to either like put on a sandwich, to just snack on themselves. And, you know, one of the, of course, for fat burning, which a lot of people want to do, you have to have protein sources or food sources that are lower in complex carbs and higher in protein quite often to get that fat burning that's necessary.
So looking into 2017, you know, everybody wants to make that, I want to look better, I want to feel better, you know, new exercise plan, new meal plan. Do you, what's the most typical training mistake that you see women do? Like women put into their workout routine when they're starting something new?
Exercise, and the most common mistake I see kind of everybody do is ignore their caloric intake. So if I was to ask the average person, how many calories a day should you be eating so that you can lose weight? And they'll be like, I don't know. You know?
Right.
But like, they know how many liters or how many gallons. Well, how many gallons does it take to fill your car? Or like, what was on last night's episode of The Housewives? You know what I mean? Or Days of Our Lives or whatever. Like, they'll know all these random things except for what is necessary. It's like, well, how do you expect to be able to lose weight if you don't even know exactly how many calories you should be eating? And I try to, it is the most common mistake. Like, people will be like, I'm eating healthy. I had a turkey sandwich, and they really didn't count the calories of what was on that turkey sandwich with the cheese and the mayo and whatever. And it was like a 700 calorie sandwich. And it's like, something can look like it's healthy, but you're not actually taking the time. And that bread that you had it on was like a higher calorie bread where, you know, it might have been 400 calories for the bread, and you could have picked one that was 200 calories. So I find that, and then, oh, the biggest one that I love is when women do these high intensity classes like spinning or something, and they come out and then they go across the street to the smoothie bar and they eat they sip like a 500 calorie sugary smoothie. And it's like, okay, so you realize that you are not recovering with your fat. You are refueling your body with this smoothie that you're drinking right now. And I think the nutritional knowledge gets mixed up. People think there's a lot of nutritional information out there that's designed for athletes, for recovery, and for repairing muscles and for increasing in muscle size. And a lot of people who are trying to lose weight get confused and use that information instead of understanding that, no, actually, it's the exact opposite for weight loss that it is for a performance athlete. Like a performance athlete, yes, they need to refuel. You do not. You need to refuel your muscles with your subcutaneous body fat. And so when you get off that spin bike or you get off that high intensity cardio, for the next 2 hours, your body is refueling. Those muscles are refueling 50% of the calories you just burned in the first 2 hours. And if you refuel with some nice sugary juice smoothie, then that's what you're refueling with. So it's like you should just be hydrating with lots of water and let your body do what it needs to do as far as break down the fat, convert it to glycogen, and bring that glycogen in. When you're actually working out doing these high intensity classes, the majority of the fuel you're using is already in the muscle in the form of glycogen. You're not burning a lot of body fat. Maybe 20-30%. Like, unless you're a super high performance athlete with like really high oxygen consumption, maybe you might get 50% of your calories coming from fat. But most people, the harder you go, the more calories you burn, most of those calories are coming from stored glycogen already in your muscle cells, which is sugar. And so you then want your body to take the fat that you have, break it down into glycogen, and bring it to the muscle cell so it will be there for you for your next training session.
Gotcha. Now, I didn't know we were going to do science today. This is exciting.
This is so awesome.
Science, and that's the number one thing I see is that people have no idea how the body actually burns fat. And it's just like, so their nutrition and the way they eat and the way they intake, because like, that's why you see like people who run marathons and they're still overweight and stuff. It's like, okay, you just ran 26 miles and, you know, or burned whatever, 2,000 calories. Or it's crazy. Like, you know, there'll be people who exercise 5 times a week, but they haven't mastered nutrition yet. And you cannot burn fat if your calorie intake is more than what your calories are burned. And I think sometimes people think that like that 500 calorie workout is really a big deal. Like, it's great for your body. It's awesome for your heart. And it's not to say that that person who's not losing weight, the benefits of them working out, they still earn those benefits. They still get a conditioned heart, lower cholesterol, better blood pressure. All those things are great. But to actually burn the excess fat, you have to make sure your nutrition's on point and that your calorie intake is below your calorie output.
Right. Now, speaking of running a marathon, I mean, yes. You know, because you are in the midst of training for the New York City Marathon for a great cause. Thought you might want to tell us a little bit about your experience. Like, have you done this before? Is this old hat?
No, I don't believe in overuse on the joints. So actually, I've avoided doing a marathon my entire career because I really believe in conditioning the body for longevity so that your joints have their full range of motion, your body feels good, and like that reoccurring pounding on your hips and your knees, I'm just like not a fan of. So I'm doing it for the cause, but I'm really like today I had to spend an extra hour just stretching my hip flexors and rolling out because of the outdoor runs I did on the weekend. And I just really think that people have to be cautious of overuse on their joints because just using hip as an example, hip replacement has doubled in the last 10 years. And, you know, a lot of the exercises we choose to do are hip flexion of the hip, whether it's spinning, running, hiking, walking. I mean, walking and running are the two most common exercises that people do. And now we have this spinning and cycling and as well and kickboxing and everything we do because you got to move the legs, you know, 60% of your blood flow is in the legs. So you got to move the legs to get the heart going. But people forget that flexibility is the most underdeveloped component of fitness. And we need to think about the flexibility of the hips in order to keep the integrity of them, as well as the flexibility of the spine. Between the spine and the hips are so important to avoid so many like lower back injuries and hip injuries. And then the strengthening, of course, to keep the strength in the joints so that they can withstand all the repetitive motions. So that's why yoga is so great, because you get both strength training, isometric poses to bring the blood and the nutrients to those joints so they can build in strength to withstand the repetitive motion. And you get the flexibility also because a lot of those poses you're holding in a position that helps lengthen the muscle and open it up. So, you know, I'm just learning that I have to listen to my body and make sure that I'm not overdoing it in the runs and that those next 2 or 3 days after that I'm doing, you know, if I do a long 18-mile or 20-mile run, I got to do like an hour of stretching as soon as I'm finished.
So, wow, you're blowing my mind and you're also preaching to the converted because Chris and I are both trainers and we deal with people and we understand about repetitive injuries and stuff like that. But going a little off topic, are there any workouts out there that you haven't tried that yet that you're dying to try out when you're done with this marathon, you know, when you get your body back
where you want? You said, can you repeat again? Are there any workouts out there that...
Are there any workouts out there that you are dying to try for yourself that you haven't tried yet?
You know, I love trying new things all the time. So, I mean, I would probably like to do some more ballet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just feel like ballerinas, they have such incredible posture and such incredible range of motion through their joints. And I always like taking, like, I took some pieces of ballet and added it into my bikini bootcamp to work out. I have this chapter called Precision. And my assistant is a ballerina also. I have so much respect for the practice of ballet and the integrity of the movements. And I think that it's so close to Pilates, obviously, with Pilates being created for injured dancers. And the whole premise of Pilates to improve the range of motion of every joint. I just love human movement and how the body moves. And I'm just not big into the whole like super plyometric stuff. Like, I think it's cool. It's cute. But right now I feel like we're in this era of like risk versus reward there's so many exercises that are really high risk and I watch people do them and I watch trainers do them with clients. And I'm just like the risk. If I could ask every trainer out there to please, before they give it as to a client, what is the risk of this person being injured versus the reward of what you're going to achieve? Like, can you do a basic lunge? Why do you have to do plyometric lunges? Are you really getting that many more calories burned? Or are you just risking the fact that you might blow this person's knee out? Like, that kind of stuff.
Really
totally
good point.
True. So, really good point.
And that's why I love playing. So, I mean, if anything, I would just want to continue to do more ballet and more yoga and movements that really help heal the body and, you know, keep the full range of motions. so that I can continue to do. I mean, there's so many activities. I actually, you know, I live actively. I snowboard and I ski, and I like to do these things that already are higher risk. So I feel like I use exercise to kind of heal my body so I can go back out into the world and play. If that.
Yeah.
So we have just one more question for you. We know how busy you are, but this is the last question we ask this of everybody who does the show. What was the last song you listened to before you did this podcast interview?
Good question. it was Beyonce, Freedom. Freedom!
Nice!
Yeah. Excellent.
I was run into that song.
Nice.
She's fantastic. Well, Jeanette, thank you so much. You are completely amazing, and I'm writing down all these notes. I mean, I'm really inspired by you. I love following you, by the way, on Instagram and Twitter. Where can people find you? They need to follow you on social media because you are so inspiring.
Well, my Facebook page is named after myself and my company, Jeanette Jenkins, the Hollywood Trainer Club, or the Hollywood Trainer. My Instagram is Ms. Jeanette Jenkins, so Ms. Jeanette Jenkins. And my Twitter is my name, at Jeanette Jenkins. And, you know, kudos to you guys, too. I love following your blog, and I know you guys have reviewed some of my DVDs from back in the day. And
you know
just,
it.
Just, like, thanks for creating a platform and a place where people can go to constantly get, you know, re-motivated and more information and new stuff. That's fantastic.
Aw. Thanks, Jeanette.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This was fantastic. Thank you so much, and good luck at the marathon.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.